Okay, real talk. When did paying someone back become social media?
What do you mean?
Like, say I want to see what you're doing and who you're hanging with, and you're not posting about it on your story. I can just stalk your pay app and find out what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's weird. You do that?
No, I don't do that. I use Apple Cash. It's built into your iPhone, easy and secure. You can send and receive money right in messages and keep it between friends, and then use that money to buy something at a store with Apple Pay.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Maybe.
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Terms apply.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Oh, Elizabeth Dudden.
Sarah Burnett.
I'm so glad to see you again.
I'm glad to see me every day.
I like that smile you're wearing. It's nice.
Thank you so much.
I got a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what is ridiculous?
Yes. Two things.
Well, tell me one of them.
Okay, the first one.
They better not be a mashup.
It's not a mashup.
Okay.
The first one is that we have a rude dude in the studio with us today.
Oh.
That's not my stomach making those noises.
I couldn't see. I just heard. Yes.
We got a dog in the studio.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's a rude dude.
Full on rude dude.
Like
action.
Legit golden retriever rude dude.
Yeah.
He's wearing sunglasses.
Nice.
His name is Mickey. And so he's kind of going to town on a Kong right now.
Okay.
And I just want to give you a heads up. If you hear anything, it's not me. That's the dog.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
So two, the uh-huh. other thing that's ridiculous, it's not a mashup.
Oh, wow.
Can you
two
believe
for two.
This?
It's an Thanks, Mickey.
Update. Yeah. Mickey told me it's an update
uh-huh.
that the guy, remember the golden toilet that
mm-hmm.
was stolen?
Mm-hmm.
They arrested some people. And I think I talked about that
yeah.
as an update. One of them pled guilty.
Whoa.
James Sheen, age 39, pleaded guilty to burglary,
mm-hmm.
Converting or transferring criminal property in conspiracy to do the same.
Hmm.
And so he appeared in court via video link from prison.
Yeah.
Because he's serving a 17-year sentence there for thefts, including stealing tractors.
Oh, so other, yes,
uh-huh.
thefts.
Gotcha. High-value trophies from the National Horse Racing Museum in Newmarket.
Okay.
Worth a total of 400,000 pounds.
I wonder why he flipped.
I don't know, but there are other dudes. Michael Jones, 38.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Sines, a.k.a. Frederick Doe. From, and then Bora Guckuck. From West London. They also got charged. They're going to stand trial in February 2025.
Okay. So we got that to look forward to.
You know, we really do. We really do. And so that, my friend, is ridiculous. Two ridiculous things.
Double dipped.
I know. Look
wow.
at me.
You got a second?
I do.
I got one for you.
Yes.
It's about musicians, some of your favorite people.
You know, I love this.
Yeah, musicians are getting busted.
Ooh, I love that,
yeah,
too.
The funny way, like peeping in windows and sniffing flowers and waiting in the McDonald's drive-thru.
Wait, what?
Yeah. This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. Always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
Yay!
Elizabeth.
Darren.
I was telling a friend
a story the other day. And
then, oh, were you?
Yeah,
that's
I do that
fun
sometimes.
For you.
I'm a storyteller.
You are.
They referenced the story I'm about to tell you.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to go and look it up because I'd never heard it before. And I wanted to make sure that they got all the details right before I told it to you.
Okay.
I was like, I don't want to look like an idiot in front of Elizabeth.
Never. That's never happened.
Never once. But then as I'm researching and I came across a bunch of other similar stories, I was like, well, since this one isn't too long, I'll just throw in a few others just for free.
I love it.
Because I like you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, first up, I consider this one an appetizer of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, on May 11th, 1965, the man in black, Johnny Cash, was at Mississippi State University playing a show.
Huh.
So he performs that night. Afterwards, you know, he goes out there, he sings his songs, picks his guitar, you know, Johnny Cashes them all up. And then he goes outside to cool his head, right? And it must have been like a nice spring night, that May night, because Cash, he goes for a walk. At some point on his walk, he stopped. Now, why did he stop, Elizabeth?
The walking ceased.
No, to literally, he stopped to smell the flowers.
Oh.
Literally stopped to smell the flowers.
How
like,
nice.
That's what Johnny Cash
does.
I
love doing that.
I know you
do. I really
do.
I mean, like, especially you get jasmine in bloom.
Oh, yeah.
Just go huff it. So good.
Wish you could, like, save smells for later.
Oh, like capture it in a jar.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
Huff the jar.
Just be like, ah, oh, that was nice. I needed
so
that.
Good.
They're getting, like, a public restroom in, like, a, I don't know, an airport.
And you want to save that smell?
No. That's the one. That's when you use the smell
oh,
you
I
have
thought you were,
saved.
Like, when you're in there and you're like, this smells so bad. I want to smell it later. Public restroom.
I want to share this one with my buddy. He needs to smell this.
Never going
to
believe this.
All right. Well, okay, Elizabeth, flower sniffer.
Mm-hmm.
So Johnny Cash, he's like you, right? And so he's out there sniffing flowers in the moonlight. And all of a sudden, cops stop. And they're like, you know, sir, what's going on? He's like, I'm just smelling flowers, right? And then now the responding officers, according to Johnny Cash, and I quote, I reached down and picked a dandelion here and a daisy there as I went along, and this car pulls up, right? It was the fuzz, Elizabeth, the popo, the 5-0, the one time, right? They didn't take too kindly to this flower-sniffing man out there sniffing another man's flowers in the middle of the night. So the cops arrest Johnny Cash on charges of public drunkenness.
They're wait, like, what year was this?
1965.
Okay, so I'm just imagining where he was in his life. Yes.
Yes, exactly. So, you know, maybe he was drunk. Maybe he was just flower drunk. Who knows?
Who knows?
But that meant a night in the clink, the county jail, right? The hooscow. Now, his cellmate was a 15-year-old boy named Smokey Evans.
Wait.
What a name, right?
15-year-old?
15-year-old named Smokey Evans. Now, the flower sniffer, he's mad about his arrest. So being Johnny Cash, he acts out, right? So Cash, he kicks the cell wall all hard enough to bust his own foot, right? He ends up breaking a toe. So now his foot starts to swell up with pain, enough that he wants to take his shoes off, right? So he takes his shoes off and he looks at the 15-year-old boy, his cellmate, Smokey Evans. And according to country legend, he said, here's a souvenir. I'm Johnny Cash. So he gives him his shoes.
Wait.
Can you imagine that? You're in Starksville, Mississippi. You get rung up on, I don't know, some BS charges like public drunkenness because the local deputies, they don't like the look of you.
Yeah.
Now you're in the cell just trying to get through the night. In comes Johnny Cash and he gives you his shoes.
Wow.
Right?
I really do wonder what Smokey was in on.
Yeah, I do not know.
Like spree killer.
Spree killer.
And Johnny Cash is like, here, take my shoes. And then he finds out later. He's like, what have I done?
I gave a man who killed 7.
I'm going to get canceled.
So anyway, after his night in jail, Johnny Cash, he walked out of that cell with a happy memory and with a song because he later wrote a song called Starksville City Jail.
Oh, yeah.
About his time inside Mississippi. Now, in 1969, Johnny Cash, he played a very famous show in San Quentin Prison, along with Folsom Prison Blues. He also performed another carceral folk song, Starksville City Jail.
Oh, wow.
And Johnny Cash told the guys in San Quentin, and I quote, you wouldn't believe it. One night I got in jail in Starkville, Mississippi for picking flowers. I was walking down the street and, you know, going to get me some cigarettes or something. Now, heavy emphasis on the or something.
Or something,
now,
yeah.
Anyway, back to JR, because that's what his friends called him, Elizabeth, JR.
Uh-huh.
About 2 a.m. after a show, I think it was. Anyway, I reached down and picked a dandelion here and a daisy there as I went along, and this car pulls up. He said, get it the hell in there, boy. What are you doing? I said, I'm just picking flowers. Well, $36 for picking flowers and a night in jail. You can't hardly win, can you? No telling what they'd do if I pulled an apple or something. I'd like to get back at the fellow down in Starksville, Mississippi that still has my $36. Now, somehow Johnny Cash can make getting busted for flower picking sound cool as
hell.
Oh,
yeah, but You're in San Quentin.
Yeah.
And you've, like, if you're in San Quentin, mm-hmm. you've done some San Quentin quality stuff.
Yeah, more
stuff.
Than flower picking.
And here's this guy. Man, they got me a flower picking. And they're like, uh-huh, sure. Sure.
All right, JR.
Sure, pal.
No.
Yeah, you know, I was caught with a necklace full of ears. Like,
come up with this stuff. I thought you could be like, oh, I robbed three banks.
No.
Nope, necklace full
necklace
of ears.
Necklace full of ears.
Like a, okay, you know what? I'm going to go to the next one. It involves our girl, Amy Winehouse.
Oh.
Yeah, 2009, at the time, Amy Winehouse was in Milton Keynes.
Okay.
I had never heard of this.
Really?
It's a town. I don't know Milton
yeah,
Keynes.
You never heard
no,
of it?
No, I know, like, you know, anyway, in case you're wondering, that's a city in England. If
yes.
you're like me and you're an idiot. Specifically, it's in Buckinghamshire. Now, which I looked up. It's roughly 50 miles outside of London on a northwest heading.
Yes.
Okay, anyway, Amy Winehouse at the theater. She was at a pantomime theater, so mimes.
A panto. No, it's not mimes.
No? Oh.
No, what? It's like, that's like a Christmas thing. Like,
oh, that's what that
those,
is?
Those like, wah, productions.
Yeah.
Of, and they're very campy, like.
Okay, so she's at the
audience participation.
Yes, I know those. I thought those were just specifically Christmas. I didn't know they did.
That's called the pantos. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this play was Cinderella.
That's what they do. And okay. It's not necessarily always at Christmas, but like.
Okay.
I'm going to guess this probably happened around Christmas.
No, but let's go with that.
But yeah, no, it's like, and it's kids shows and that kind of stuff.
Okay, well.
So she was at a panto.
A panto, yeah.
Cinderella.
And I kid you not, there was someone else famous there.
And she was in the audience.
In the audience.
How amazing is that, that you go to a Cinderella panto and sitting next to you is Amy Winehouse, just zonked out of her gourd.
And not only that, but on stage is Mickey Rooney.
Stop it. I was so, when you, I got to the R and I was like, please say Mickey Rourke. Please say Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rooney.
Yeah, when I first read it, I thought it was a typo or like some cat who's English and had the same name.
Yeah.
But I looked it up. No,
God,
Mickey Rooney.
How old was he?
He was alive in 2009.
Like 300 years old.
Oh, I looked for it. He lived for four more years. He was like 89 years old at that
okay.
time, right?
Okay.
Yeah, he died in 2014. Anyway, so you got this 89-year-old powerhouse Mickey Rooney up on stage doing Cinderella.
And
Amy Winehouse, right? Yeah, I guess she wasn't too into their rendition of Cinderella because she starts heckling the show. Right?
Oh, boy.
So Cinderella's stepsisters appear on stage and Amy Winehouse loudly calls them bitches, right? And just,
oh,
right?
My God.
Yeah, it keeps going, right? Another character goes on stage and they're like sneaking up on someone and Amy Winehouse shouts, he's behind you. Right?
Oh my God. So, and it's not even charming.
No,
if it's
just,
not Amy. It's
yes.
not charming because we know her fate.
Totally.
But also, like, just drunks and yes. addicts doing that kind of stuff.
If it was
so,
like Mary Fitzgerald doing this.
Now,
or
if it
like,
was a 4-year old,
uh-huh.
love that.
That's hilarious. I love
I
cussing
love
children. Oh.
Heckling 4-year olds.
Cussing children.
Bring it on.
No, but I agree with you. If it was any normal person just drunk at the show shouting, terrible, right?
Oh, God. Yeah.
But I'm still rooting for her. At this point
okay.
in the story, because, well, anyway, she keeps going on. I mean, well, whatever. She was looking out for people. She's just trying to warn them of imminent danger. Who knows?
Yeah. Wait. When you first read this, you thought they were miming the whole thing and
yes.
it's all quiet?
Well, not. I thought I went back and forth. The first time I read it, I thought it was the pantomime, like the ludicrous. Then I thought, oh, I'm probably wrong. Is pantomime like actual mimes? And so I imagined it like silent and she's just shouting.
Mickey Rooney is a mime, like miming out.
Yeah, like with the makeup and
oh
everything.
My God, I'm dying.
Like Marcel Marceau, but it's a Mickey Rooney. Anyway, so at this other point, the theater.
It's just her yelling.
Yeah,
this,
it's
hear.
Just all quiet except for like little footsteps of like Chinese flats, you know,
oh
on the stage, ballerina shoes. Anyway, Amy Winehouse yells out later on, Cinda's Prince Charming, marry me, right? So now she's like,
oh boy,
yeah. Like, I don't know if there's kids at this show, if it's just adults going, yeah, we like.
Well, there's usually kids.
That's
at these
my.
Things.
That's what I'm thinking, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so the theater staff, they come in, they get called in, probably by parents, like you gotta calm
well, they
her
let
down.
It go that long.
Oh, totally, right? The staff, they politely tell her to pipe down, right?
Yeah.
But then at this point, her ire's up, right? So Amy Winehouse tells the staff where to stick it, right? And she gets ordered back to her seat. She refuses to sit down. Theater manager, they get called in. They're supposed to. Like, oh, what's going on here, right? And I try to settle things down. By the way, the theater's manager's name was Richard Pound.
Okay.
In America, he'd be called Dick Pound, right? So
the Dick from Pound Town.
Yeah, now my man Dick Pound from Pound Town, Richard, if he ain't nasty, he goes and gets in Amy Winehouse's face. And then she got in his, right? Right back.
Oh, just, I bet.
Right? And eventually it came to blows. And Amy Winehouse, you know, she could throw those things, right? So she's mixing it up. She gets in a few good chops. And she gets in, like, some real blows. Maybe a jab, uppercut combo. I don't know what she's working.
Switchblade out of the beehive.
Oh, yeah. She also, she pulled some of his hair, right?
Well,
yeah.
She did?
Oh, yeah. Right? Real, like,
God bless.
Oh, yeah. Like, what is it? Schoolyard style, right? Uh-huh. She also didn't use just two limbs. She used all four that God gave her. So she's kicking and a punching. And yeah, so she's kicking the fanny of old Dick Pound, right? And then, so the cops get called.
You know you're talking about Brits.
Yeah, because the
kicking
oh, wait.
The fanny.
Oh, right,
yeah,
flipped it. Sorry. So the Bobbies, they show up and they arrest Amy Winehouse. She gets charged with common assault. I don't know if that's like
common.
Assaulting commoners. Like, yeah. Like, you didn't assault a royal. This
well, it
is
wasn't
common
spectacular
assault.
No, I
figure.
Like,
yeah.
She was, it was just common.
Another extraordinary assault.
It was basic.
So she gets busted under her legal name, Amy Civil.
Uh-huh.
That was her married name. That was the last name of her ex-husband, Blackfielder Civil. And so when she appeared before a magistrate in court, her fine was £85 and another £100 owed to Dick Pound for damages.
Well, that's worth it, the entertainment
value.
Well,
it's like an upcharge, really. I mean,
yeah.
It's like paying for first class seats on a plane. You're like,
it's
hey,
like a night out. Yeah.
Yeah, extra £185. You can yell at the actors and you get to fight Dick Pound. You also get a free night in jail.
You have to excuse my wheezing. I've just recovered from pneumonia.
Oh, you
so
got
the
walking kind or the dancing kind?
The walking. I have the common.
You got dancing pneumonia?
Like spectacular pneumonia. Yeah.
So I got another one for you.
Yeah.
Okay. ODB.
Oh, old
yeah,
dirty bastard.
Yeah, Big Baby Jesus.
That's right.
A.K.A. Dirt McGirt. A.K.A. The Osiris of this. Ish. Okay, so I'm
from,
keeping things.
The, you know, like just for the uninitiated.
Oh, from the
Wu-Tang
Clan.
Clan.
Yes.
A rapper.
Yes, a rapper from the Wu-Tang Clan. Now, I'm keeping things a little spicy, Elizabeth, this one, just the way Dirty would like it.
Uh-oh.
Elizabeth, would you go from Amy Winehouse to ODB?
Ooh-wee.
You got to keep things extra spicy. So
you
this
really
story,
do.
It goes 9 years before Amy Winehouse. House, mixed it up with Dick Pound on October 28th, 2000. Old Dirty Bastard of the Wu-Tang Clan. He's in a Philadelphia McDonald's drive-thru.
Okay, as we've all been.
Yeah, of course, right? Now, at the time, the Mercurial rapper was on the lam.
Yeah.
Yeah, that requires...
He was riding a lamb through the drive-thru.
Yeah, like
he was...
He escaped from a lamb rodeo. Get off. So this all requires a little explanation because these were charges in multiple jurisdictions, right? The trouble essentially starts in February of 99. At that time, he was driving around L.A. He didn't have a license, at least on him, or actually not a license. And by not only that, he was also wearing a bulletproof vest, right?
What's wrong with that?
It was illegal at the time in California.
Oh.
In fact, he was the first convicted felon on the new law.
Really?
Yep.
Broke it in
broke
for everybody.
Broke your chair with ODB, right?
Wow.
Yeah, what a lucky law.
I know.
Now, I guess there was other things that felons had to give up besides their right to vote. They also had to give up their right to a bulletproof vest.
Oh, so it was only felons?
Felons, yeah.
Oh,
felons.
I thought it was just anybody.
Convicted felons were not allowed to wear a bulletproof vest in California, according to the new law. I think it's been since repealed. Anyway,
that doesn't sound very safety-minded to me.
No, it was after that in North Hollywood robbery where the guys walked in like looking like, I don't know, modern armored knights.
Oh, yeah, it was wild.
Yeah, so... ODB, right? A few weeks later after that, he was in New York, right? And he gets busted again for drug possession. I have marijuana and crack cocaine.
Ooh.
He had 20 vials of crack on him. So, you know, like
that's intent to distribute.
A weekend's amount, right? Yeah. So a long weekend if you're ODB. So, yeah, there were also traffic violations, not drug trafficking, just like street violations, right? Now, fast forward to October 2000. Now, ODB is in a court-ordered drug treatment facility.
Yeah.
He busts out, right? He's like, I gotta free myself.
Like
the
Kool-Aid man.
Exactly. Goes on the lam for a month. Now, what does he do on that time?
Once again, hops on a lam and rides down the street.
So he rides that lam over to RZA's recording studio.
Oh, hey,
yeah.
RZA.
He drops some fresh bars. Then he goes and he shows up at the Hammerstein
Ballroom. My name's ODB and I'm here to say... I love riding lambs in a crazy way. And then just took off down
and everyone's like, Grammy.
Bye-bye.
So they're at the Hammerstein Ballroom for a record release party for Wu-Tang's 2000 album, The W.
Yeah.
Right? For the brief time he was there, ODB tells the crowd, I can't stay on stage too long tonight. The cops is after me, right? So,
okay, good way to announce that.
Well, he had a plan, though. His whole plan was gonna live like a bird, right? So people were like, oh, what does that mean, Dirt?
And he's fly like, into a windmill.
He planned on staying on this side of the grass by nurturing himself, quote, on bird seed or whatever. You'll see.
Bird seed.
Yeah. So then the crowd's like, good luck, Dirt. So,
oh my God.
Later that same month, October 28th, he travels to Philly, right? And specifically South Philly, which makes a difference because he was at the McDonald's at 29th and Grays Ferry Avenue.
Sure.
If you were looking for a McDonald's in the area.
It's fantastic. I've never been there.
So he was at the drive-thru, sitting in a 91 Mitsubishi Galant with New Jersey plates.
Ooh la la.
Yeah. It's ODB. Someone recognizes him. He draws a crowd. So what does he do? He starts rapping for the fans, right?
Why
signing
not?
Autographs in the drive-thru line. And also because he's ODB, he attracts the attention of the local Philly police. So Officer Rebecca Anderson, she like sees this crowd going crazy. She looks over. She recognizes the rapper. She recognizes him because her son was a huge fan of Wu-Tang.
Uh-huh.
Had all these images, albums around. She's like, oh, I know that guy. He's on the lam. I've seen recently the, you know, APBs for him, right?
Right.
So she goes and...
He was there messing around in the drive-thru long enough for the cops to show up.
Yes, exactly.
Like, okay.
So her superior on the force, Sergeant Mel Williams, he said... She knew him from listening to his music and knew he was wanted by police. She stopped him and found out it was him. Very straight, very straightforward, right?
That's exactly what happened.
And she didn't ask for an autograph. Instead, she just arrests him, right? He spends the next few days in a Philly holding cell until he was processed and extradited to New York City. Getting busted in a Mickey D's drive-thru line is probably one of the most ODB ways to get popped.
Incredible.
I just hope he got the shake, you know? I hope there was a shake.
They're like always broken.
The machine's always broken, right? I hope
so
if ODB's
no
there, they're like,
one.
You're in luck, ODB. We got a shake for you.
For you, we'll turn the machine back on.
All right, let's take a little break, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Get ourselves some shakes, and we'll be back in 2 and 2 with more ridiculous busts.
Excellent.
Can I rant for a sec?
Please.
Pay apps are way too public.
What happened?
Some rando hearted a payment from 5 months ago, and I realized people can see my entire history, who I'm paying, like full names. It's super weird.
Yeah, it's weird. How are you paying your friends then?
Apple Cash. It's all in messages. You can literally send cash like a text, and it stays between friends. Random people can't see it.
Did you just pay me a dollar on Apple Cash?
Shh.
Services are provided by Green Dot Bank. Member FDIC. Terms apply.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts. And it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more. And that applies to criminals, too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Elizabeth.
Zarin.
This is the story I wanted to tell you.
Oh, this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bob Dylan.
Yes.
A.K.A. Robert Zimmerman.
Love him.
A.K.A. Bobby No Digital. A.K.A. the freewheeling one. Okay, this story took place in 2009.
Yeah.
Same year Amy Winehouse got busted for the Pantomime Theater,
was
right?
Was he there?
No. Oh. So this one is a July 23rd. He was in Long Branch, New Jersey.
Did he fight Mickey Rooney? That year, everyone went at Mickey Rooney that year. It was just a terrible year for him.
You see Mickey Rooney, you're getting busted.
Oh, God. But it's only celebrities are going out.
Yeah, exactly. You got to be famous.
The globe.
So New Jersey cop, right? They spot this suspicious man walking alone in the pouring rain, right? The cop, she has to assume that this is the same man that has motivated nervous residents are in the area to phone the police.
Oh, interesting.
So the older man had been seen peering into windows of vacant homes. He looked like he might be a squatter.
Oh, boy.
Perhaps a homeless man looking for a place to get out of the rain. Uh-huh. Naturally, the neighbors, they phone the cops all worried. The cops promptly show up. Officer Christy Bubble, she responded to the call.
I can't laugh at people's names like this.
Oh, I can. Yeah. All the time.
Christy Bubble.
I got more names coming. So, yeah. Christy Bubble. She also, by the way, that's Christy Bubble with one B, but in all this news stories, it's pronounced Bubble. Like in parentheses, they want you to know it's not like that guy, Michael, whatever. Buble. Yeah, no, Bubble. It's Bubble around here. 1B Bubble. I'm like, okay. Anyway, Officer Christy Bubble responded to the call. She drove out. She located the suspect. She got out of her patrol vehicle. She confronted the suspicious man. He told her he was Bob Dylan. Now, luckily, you don't have to take my word for it because we have Officer Christy Bubble to tell you what all went down when she tried to bust Bob Dylan.
Oh.
Yeah. Take it away, Officer Christy Bubble. It was just a call for someone looking in a house, and it was pouring rain. So they gave a description, and I just happened to be there and stopped him, asking, you know, normal questions. What are you doing here? What's your name? He said, I'm Bob Dylan. I'm on tour.
I'm on tour. Just let me be.
If someone, let's say they look like Bob Dylan, and they told you this, would you believe them?
Because yeah, sure.
I would not. I'd be like, you're not Bob Dylan.
I'd be like, sing us a song. Prove it.
Hold on to that thought. Now, back to Officer Bubble. And I thought, no, that doesn't seem right because he was playing in Lakewood. Why would he be in Long Branch? It's 45 minutes from where he should be. Now, see, Bob Dylan clearly sucks.
But she knows that he's in town.
Yes. Interesting,
right? That's impressive.
Right? So Officer Bubble keeps peppering him with questions. He's saying these things that are normal indicators of liars. I'm Bob Dylan. Okay, what's your real name? And he told me his real name. His real, like, real name, his government name. I think it's Zimmerman, right?
Oh, my God.
Now, this is indeed his government name,
yeah.
Robert Zimmerman,
yeah.
a.k.a. Bobby No Digital. Now, so confronted with a man who's clearly lying or on drugs and believes he's Bob Dylan or whatever, what does she do next, Officer Bubble? And I'm like, that's totally weird now. That's not right. He has two names. Some other kid came and backed me up, and he's my age. He didn't believe me either.
Oh,
so now
God.
There's two cops, two young cops, and they're both like, so you're Bob Dylan. Okay, buddy. So Bob Dylan, who is not known to be patient or kind with small talk. Now,
no.
He must be losing it. He's in the rain. These cops are like, what's going
on,
man?
In the rain.
So back to Officer Bubble. I just put him in the car and said, okay, where are you staying, Bob? Kind of sarcastically messing with him a little bit. Where's your hotel? Where might you be staying? Where are your friends?
But wait a second. We think that's funny, but imagine it really is
totally.
Like just a homeless man
all
who's
the
in the
around.
Rain, and she's like, all right, Bob.
Exactly.
I'd be like, look.
That's the subtle part
you
of the story.
Are talk,
that
Bubble.
When you just imagine this is not Bob Dylan, just keep you run both stories the entire time, right?
Yeah. That's
so now they're just openly effing with not Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, Bob Dylan, if you're really Bob Dylan, name three of his early albums.
And like, what if he's like mentally ill and thinks he's Bob Dylan and they're just messing with him?
Oh, yeah, no.
Oh, these people.
So poor Bob Dylan, right? Okay, back to the story. Officer Bubble and Officer, let's call him Officer Cupcake.
Yeah.
Officer Cupcake and Bubble, they're still questioning Bob Dylan. And now they have him sitting in their squad car and they're like, hey, Bob Dylan, where are you staying? Well, you're on tour. I don't see a tour bus anywhere.
Oh, but they're bullies.
Bob Dylan has an answer for Officer Bubble and Officer Cupcake. And I quote from Officer Bubble, and he says, oh, it's this hotel out by the ocean. And I think that kind of makes sense. So now the cops are willing to drive this weirdo over to the hotel that he claims he's staying at. Mostly, though, it's just to prove that he's a liar and that they can cut to the chase and arrest him and take him to central booking.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, they'll just go out for the drive to the coast.
Yeah.
So back to Officer Bubble and their account of what happened next. And even when we pulled up to the hotel and there were buses and stuff, I thought it might be some guy in character, someone who might be imitating him and won't get out of character, even dealing with police. So, I mean, to be fair, that's a pretty good description of Bob Dylan, as far as I can tell.
He is always in character.
Some guy in character who won't get out of character. Even dealing with the police.
That's 100%.
I mean, that is Bob Dylan, right? Like, Now that we've taken him to his hotel, does his manager spot him in the back of the cop car and freak out? Like, does the Teamster maybe see him and go to him and go, hey, man, you can't be arresting Bob, man? Or like, yeah. What? So what goes down? Well, back to Officer Bubble. Bob Dylan was nice. He talked a lot, and I wasn't even paying attention to some of the things he was saying, because in my head, I was wondering, what am I going to tell the hospital? What am I going to tell my supervisor? He's just blabbering in the back.
Oh, my God. And he's blabbering. What is he saying?
I love how she describes Dylan just blabbering in the back. There are so many people alive who would love, like, 5 minutes of his time.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Right? And all of a sudden, like... Officer Bubble has like an hour with him, and she's like treating it like it's court ordered care of her demented grandfather. It's like, he's babbling again. Anyway, so those who do revere Bob Dylan and would love to know what he would say in such a situation, I have some answers.
Yes.
According to Officer Bubble, I actually remember he said, just take me over there. I'll give you tickets to my show. You can see me play. I remember he said that, and I thought, this guy is crazy. So, of course, that wasn't all. Bob also had way more to say. He told me he's famous for singing. He told me he wrote all these songs. It didn't actually occur to me to ask, like, sing me a song. She never thinks of your first thought.
Yeah,
sing me a song.
But would she even know a Dylan song or know his voice? It sounds like she doesn't know much at all.
Hold that thought. So, if some man you think is crazy, right, and he tells you he's Bob Dylan, and you don't ask him to prove it by singing a Bob Dylan song,
yeah,
I probably wouldn't say that to the newspaper writers. That's just me. I wouldn't be like, God, I told him. Anyway, so Officer Bubble's mother, you know, she asked that sort of question, the same question you asked, the question I would ask, and as Officer Bubble tells it, that was the third question my mom asked. Like, why didn't you ask him to sing? I was like, I don't know, Mom. I didn't think about it. In retrospect, it was the number one thing I should have done. Okay, well, way to go. Way to have, like, a post-game, like, assessment by the cops. They don't always do that one, so hey, way to go. But meanwhile, Bob Dylan is practically daring her to ask him to sing. I think he named a couple of songs. The problem with this is...
Oh, my God. He's like, okay, A, I'm famous. B, I'm a singer.
He starts naming his songs. So she's
doesn't
like,
he have a Pulitzer Prize?
Yeah, for his autobiography.
But that was before then.
Yeah, that was after then. Anyway. So, yeah, after this event. Yeah. So, and then she says, but I wouldn't have known any of the songs. So there you go, Elizabeth.
There it is.
And at this point, Bob Dylan is at the hotel, but he's still in police custody, right? So what gives? Is he enjoying himself? He's just messing with them? According to Officer Bubble, he wasn't in trouble. There wasn't any chance of him being arrested. It was just a suspicious thing. There was no chance of him going to jail or anything. He probably knew that. I mean, if he couldn't tell me where those buses were, he might have been in the hospital. I would have had to make some phone calls. Now, if she wouldn't have listened to him and been willing to drive him over to his hotel and found all the tour buses, she would have had Bob Dylan incarcerated in like the version
but, like,
of like
for what? Why is
Bellevue?
She even, it's illegal to walk down the street in the rain.
Is what I'm saying. That's what I mean. Right?
Oh my God.
This country. I'm telling you, Elizabeth. So even Officer Bubble admits at this point she knows that he hasn't done anything wrong, but she still thinks he's suspicious. Right? She's already admitted that. Anyway,
Officer next.
Back to Officer Bubble. Even if he didn't say he was Bob Dylan, I would have thought something was off. I mean, normal people, well, you usually ask, like, what are you doing here? Where do you live? Where are you from? He said, I have houses all over the place. I don't live in one place. I travel so much. I have a house in London. I have a house in California. People in Long Branch say, I live in Long Branch. I live here. So little red flags are going off. And he's not lying, but a normal person would have made sense.
No, he's telling you the 100% truth. Oh, my God.
I love her logic. Like, what he's saying doesn't make sense according to Long Branch standards. So, like,
yeah, well,
lock him
you
up.
You know that, wherever it is in the
we
world.
We should hospitalize this guy.
I still don't understand, like, why he kept...
So, according to Officer Bubble, one way or another, it was definitely Bob Dylan's fault, right?
Yeah.
And I quote, if he didn't say he was Bob Dylan, the totality would have been, who is this person? Why do they say they live all over the place? He looks like a homeless person. And he's saying he's rich. He has all these houses. He's walking around in the rain in a rain jacket. He was soaking wet. He had rain boots on, sweatpants, and a jacket.
Well, you're not supposed to wear rain boots in the rain, sir.
No, but only, and the sweatpants and a jacket.
Who cares?
Anyway.
Like, okay.
Yes.
Like, I'm having a hard time not getting mad at something that happened so long ago.
Man walking in the rain, incarcerate him!
It doesn't, but also, it's like, she wouldn't last 10 minutes in the Bay Area.
No.
Where it's like, you can be like in Berkeley and see someone who looks totally
normal.
Homeless and it's a Nobel laureate.
Yeah, so totally. Or somebody who looks really like geared up, nice outfit, and they'll rob you.
We don't play by those rules.
Yes.
And so I'm just having a hard time processing being like, you're not dressed right. You're homeless and I have to take you in then have you hospitalized against your will because I don't believe what you're saying about where you live.
Now, do you remember the original reason for the call?
It was suspicious.
Peering in the windows, right?
Right.
So... back to Officer Bubble about that?
Yeah.
He said that he saw a house with a for sale sign and he was looking to possibly buy this house. I said, normal people go through a real estate agent. Why were you walking around the back of the house? He was like, I don't know. I just wanted to check it out. I was like, all right. It was kind of strange. So turns out Bob Dylan was not planning on buying the house. He just said that. But what he was doing was looking for the childhood home of the boss. I read something afterwards that he was looking for Bruce Springsteen's childhood house.
Oh my God.
So Officer Bubble still exculpates herself of all guilt because, again, that doesn't make sense to her long branch standard of what makes sense. Because Bruce Springsteen's house, it's not even in that neighborhood. It's in the West End side of town. This was the center of Long Branch. There's nice houses, but they're kind of like old and rickety. I don't know what he was looking at. I have no idea.
She's like, I park out in front of the boss's childhood home every night while I eat my burger and stare in their windows. And so I know where it is.
Now, I gotta ask you guys a question.
Yo, Producer D.
All right. You know how Bob Dylan is like a super trickster. And so he's never going to give you a straight answer. Yes. When she asks what songs he's sung, is he like naming random things? Like he's like, have you heard I Got Five on It? Or
he's like, Born to Run. Born to the USA. I'm on Fire. Maybe you've heard some of these. Pummel of Love. Are you familiar? Oh, God. So, yeah, I do wish I could hear the list of songs that he referenced.
Well, Officer Bubble, she kind of gets into that. She says, and I quote, when you encounter someone as famous as him, you expect him to be pompous. This is who I am. Don't do this. Don't you know who I am? It was nothing like that. Like, nothing at all. He was modest and calm and chill. I definitely didn't think, oh, this guy is such a jerk off and I'll never think of him the same way again. Not at all. He was nicer than 95% of the people I deal with every day.
Nicer than I would have been.
Right? Bob Dylan, nicer than 95% of cops and criminals. Like, I think he should put that on his next record cover.
I would have lit into her so hard. So, I'd still, to this day, I'd be giving interviews and naming names on her.
How did all this get finally resolved? Great question, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
Back to Officer Bubble. As soon as we got to the hotel and I pulled the police car in, I was thinking, let me check this out. Maybe it's just a coincidence. There's just buses here. They're not for him. And his manager came running out to us and flipped out, being a total jerk. He grabbed Bob out of the car and said, don't talk to them anymore. Come with me. I was like, sorry, Bob. For my dad, a fan, I didn't mean to not believe you. I couldn't talk to him anymore because the manager wouldn't let me have anything to do with him. So the cop, is immediately relenting to the manager because they're a jerk.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to her long branch standards, apparently.
And then she's like, wait, I want to keep talking to him.
Yeah. The manager was a pompous and I go, whoa, we're still the cops. Give us some form of ID or we're going to come on your bus. And he's like, you don't have a warrant. Don't come on this bus. And I was like, we're not trying to do all this. Just tell us who this is and we'll get moving. Now, even though the crazy man is clearly Bob Dylan and the cops just, they refuse to give up their position, right? So she says, we tried to look in the bus. I was kind of being nosy and I wanted to. And the manager wasn't allowing us anywhere near it.
Oh, want to look in the windows, I'll arrest you.
Suddenly flipped, right? So, and the manager wasn't allowing us anywhere near it, which was suspicious in itself. But fine, whatever. The guy was just in the back of my car. Who cares if I see him on the bus? I mean, he just seems like a quiet, chill dude who was minding his own business, being a little weird. He had to run into me. I have no idea what would have happened if he had met one of the older cops. How would that have gone down?
Oh, probably.
Well, they probably would have known him. Yeah.
So, they wouldn't have been like, ew, you're gross. You're
like, hey,
arrested.
Can I get tickets for my kids and my wife and me? You know, So Officer Bubble, she was able to laugh at herself after the story became a national news story.
Yeah.
I don't even know how it got out. The police department all joked and laughed and made fun of me for weeks.
Good.
But none of the cops told a newspaper or anything. It didn't even come out till like a few months later. I was like, that shit happened months ago. Now,
she's the worst.
As for her mom and dad, the Bob Dylan superfan, her dad, who somehow didn't teach his daughter to recognize Bob Dylan or believe someone who says they are Bob Dylan, Officer Bubble had this to say, Elizabeth. You know, I mean, he's famous. I get it. And it's weird. He was in Long Branch, but people were calling from everywhere to talk to me. My picture was in the biggest newspaper in New York. They made it seem like I was some dumb girl who didn't know who he was and had never heard of him, and that's not the case. My dad, he passed away 6 years ago, but he used to love Bob Dylan. My mom listened to him. I knew who he was, but I wasn't sitting around looking at his picture every day. But since then, people have bought me CDs and records. I don't know. It's funny. I wanted to have a normal conversation with him after. I wanted to say, manager, just step away away from me for just 1 minute? Just let me talk to with him for 1 minute. I promise I don't want anything from him. I don't want to bother him. I just want to have a conversation with him where I don't think he's a crazy person.
Oh, my God.
For one last word from Officer Bubble. I'll let her take us out because I know she's already taken you out.
She has.
If I saw him today, I don't think he'd be mad. I'd say it was a misunderstanding and everyone comes out okay and I was just doing my job and didn't believe you. My bad. I'm sorry. Did you hear that? She pretended as a cop that she would actually apologize for her actions rather than, you know, rationalize them being as a reasonable response to an unreasonable situation.
Exactly.
Okay, Elizabeth, there you go. That's the Bob Dylan stuff. Bob Dylan versus Officer Bubble.
It was incredible.
Okay, let's take a little break.
Yes.
And I got another nuts one for you.
Oh, I can't wait.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Zarin.
Your intern's kind of noisy.
Can you hear him?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Just a little bit. Whatever. Really... He's spirited, though. I really like it.
I know, but it's like I can't put him outside.
No.
He needs to be in the studio. Otherwise, he'll lose it.
No, I respect the game. Yeah. So, Elizabeth, I got a final story for you today. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
The year was 1965.
Okay.
You're like, wait a minute. We've already done 1965. All these stories are either from 2009 or 1965.
Those great years.
I'm just like, I just want stories 44 years apart. Anyway. The musician Frank Zappa was working in a Latino club in Ontario, California.
Oh, God.
And by working, I mean he was in a blues trio.
Oh, okay.
But the crowd was far more likely to be paying attention to the Go-Go Girls. You see, there were four of them on stage, all of them in fishnet stockings.
Sure.
As you would say, hubba hubba.
Hubba.
So what's Frank Zappa doing playing in a blues trio in a Latino club in Ontario, California, with go-go dancers?
In 1965.
Yes. Well, he was doing whatever a used car salesman was willing to pay him $100 to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait, sorry. That makes it sound dirty.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, sorry again, I just checked my notes. This story is dirty, okay.
Oh, wow.
But not like you're likely imagining, Elizabeth. Okay, wait, partially how you're imagining
it.
Anyway, here's the deal. One day, on a break from playing with the blues trio, this used car salesman comes into the club, right? You know, kind of sidles up next to him and, like, waits for his moment or whatever. And when he gets Frank Zappa's attention, the used car dealer, he says, hey, buddy, you play pretty good, right? And being young and not yet fully Frank Zappa the way we know him, he's like, thanks, mister. You take the show? And the way I imagine it goes, the used car salesman is like, oh, you betcha. I really was picking up what you fellas were laying down. If you too can dig it. And so Frank Zappa's like, oh, yeah, sure, pal. Now, the used car dealer, he kind of looks around. He looks left. He looks right. And then he sort of lowers his voice and he says, hey, so you ever make any recordings, you know, like with your own equipment? And now, the used car salesman has Frank Zappa's full attention,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so Zappa says, yeah, I got a home studio. What sort of recordings are we talking about? Now, the used car dealer, he's all excited. He looks around again, checks to see if anyone can hear him, and then he says all low and slow, I think you know, the dirty kind. Now, Elizabeth, turns out this used car salesman did not want the dirty kind of the blues. He wanted sex tapes, Elizabeth.
Wait, like porno records?
Audio sex tapes.
Oh, God.
He liked to listen.
Oh, so good God.
He thought Frank Zappa looked like the kind of fella who might know where he could get some audio sex tapes.
Probably right, though. So, I mean, he would look like that.
And he wanted custom-made jobs.
Oh, God.
So Zappa tells his used car dealer he could make some audio sex tapes for him. In fact, one of the go-go dancers, he points out, which one? She's up there on the stage, gyrating in her go-go boots. So it's easy for the used car salesman to kind of get his motor running. And Frank Zappa says, her, right? Now, the used car salesman, he's all in. He's practically ripping his wallet out of his pants pocket at this point. Uh-huh. The two men, they agree to a price, $100 for a custom-made bespoke audio sex tape.
So this is horrible.
No, it's better than you think. No. This is 1965. That same $100 would be $985 today.
Thank you for doing a conversion
there you
for
go.
Me.
All right, nice. So basically we're talking about $1,000 sex tape. So Elizabeth, at this point of the story, your thoughts?
Ew.
Right?
I just ewing on the whole thing.
Well, how about this? I got some questions for you. One, how Frank Zappa is this story?
Oh, beyond.
Two, did you know audio sex tapes were a thing?
No.
Three, have you ever wanted go-go boots?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, okay. Now, back to Zappa. So he agrees to make the $1,000 custom-made bespoke audio sex tape, and he's got the co-star
like the
all picked out.
The guy's going to go home and put on a record.
Yeah,
like
right? So who else is going to be in it besides the go-go dancer? Well, he wants to keep, costs down, so he decides he'll be the other audio porn star.
Oh, good.
So the go-go dancer, her name is Lorraine Belcher. She was 19. She was his girlfriend at the time. And so it wasn't like a hard question to pose to her, right? It was just some fast cash for an artsy young couple.
Uh-huh.
Now that they've turned semi-pro as sex workers, Zappa and Lorraine Belcher, they go home and they have to make this audio sex tape. Now, according to Zappa, he says, I stayed up most of the night manufacturing this bogus sex tape. Fake bed springs, squeaks, and grunts. I overdubbed a musical background and spent hours cutting the laughs out of this thing.
Oh my God. So, wait, this is actually super funny.
I knew you would
and
like
I'm
it.
I'm imagining like old radio shows. Like,
exactly.
Do they have like horse hooves?
No, exactly.
All of a sudden there's like, oh God.
Like, oh, we're going to go. Woo, God. Like it's a submarine. So he makes this fake sex tape, right? And the guy offers him what would be a grand now for this custom made bespoke audio sex tape. And he has his girlfriend and a mic, and they have plenty of mics because he lives in a recording studio, right? So he basically mics up the bed like a drum kit, and they just have so much fun faking this all, right?
Yeah.
And then so but they could have, if they wanted to, have made an much easier real tape. They are a real couple.
But
they
that's
have the
no
mics.
Fun. This is
exactly.
Like, this is goodness. So,
and being frank, he pulls this all nighter. He makes probably
the
world's
too,
most like brilliant sex tape,
yes.
Right? And but as I said, all faked. Ray, you pointed out radio show, bed springs. He also adds a comical musical score underneath it all, like playing
whistle.
In the background is like this music
There's
he's got
100%
going.
A slide whistle. There's like a
definitely.
Typewriter.
Yeah. So not only was all this faked, right? But I got to kind of drop the curtain for you. The used car salesman, he was also fake.
Wait.
He was an undercover cop.
What?
Yes. Everything in this story is fake, Elizabeth.
What?
Yes. So the only scenario that is somehow totally reasonable in the world of Frank Zappa is that everything is fake in this. So.
What?
So. Just to kind of prep this, because I want to give you a set sense of where Frank Zappa was in his life at this moment, because
yeah.
I keep saying 1965 and people know Frank Zappa,
yeah.
And they may know like him in like the Chic Your Booty era, or they may know, I don't know what they're thinking of, but Mother's Invention era. I don't know, but let's just go back to when he started out being Frank Zappa. 2 years earlier, on March 14th, 1963, a then 23-year-old Frank Zappa went on national television. He played a song on two bicycles.
Okay.
Not like he was riding the bicycles
no,
and playing
but like
a song.
They were
no, he was playing the bikes like musical instruments, right?
Okay.
He basically wanted to pull one over on Steve Allen.
Oh,
right?
I see.
So when Zappa first comes out onto the set, the late night host is like, oh, how long have you been playing the bike? Right? Trying to be all jovial.
Yeah.
Like as a musical instrument. And Zappa says, oh, about 2 weeks. He's on TV. Now, Steve Allen's got to play along with this big laugh from the crowd. Like, they love this kid, right? So then he goes ahead and he gives a legitimate exhibition of his talents as a bicycle player. So he uses a violin bow on the bike spokes, right?
Yeah.
And that sound that emerges is like basically identical to like an elephant's trumpet blast.
Yeah.
Then he plucks the spokes, which kind of sounds like a drunken harp.
Yeah.
Right? Then bent low, right? He blows into the bicycle's handlebars from one end. He like his lips are on the hand grip, right?
Yeah.
And he gives it a mighty wind. And then all of a sudden out comes a whistling sound from the other end,
oh,
right?
That's kinda cool.
Yeah. So later Zappa and Steve Allen, they get into this together because he kind of teaches Steve Allen how to play. Like, hey, here, just knock stuff around, right? And so they play the two bikes together for a tune that Zappa called, quote, a small improvisation for two bicycles.
This is so 60s TV. Like,
it actually sounded, well, it sounded like kind of like music. Anyway, it sounds mostly like noise music, but like proto noise music.
Yeah.
At one point, Zappa, he's plucking the bicycle spokes. Steve Allen's plaising his nose like a kazoo. Like, right? So the bit ends with Zappa playing the Schwinns, one right side up, one upside down. And he plays right along with the house band and a pre-recorded track that he's messed around with that included a woman singing that he stole off the radio. So he's got like a subtle FCC violation going on. He's all proud about that. He slides that in. So then he and the band, they jam out on an improv, right? So now that we got this last piece of the puzzle in place, Elizabeth, I'd like you to close your eyes. I'd like you to picture it.
I don't know if I want to.
It's March 26, 1965, and you are in a recording studio apartment. The air conditioning hums. There's the sound of someone lightly snoring. It's late morning. You are in the valley, as in the San Fernando Valley in Southern California, specifically Rancho Cucamonga. The place once made famous in the last mid-century by comedian Jack Benny when he had a running gag on his radio show wherein voice actor Mel Blanc would play a train announcer and he'd say, "Train now leaving on track 5 for Anaheim, Azusa, and Kook." The city is technically in San Bernardino County, a.k.a. San Berdu, about 35 to 45 miles east of downtown L.A., there at the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains. Amanga! Now, see, that's how the joke went, Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Okay, on the radio. Anyway, which you would all know about because, Elizabeth, you are a threat from the Department of Motor Vehicles to revoke Frank Zappa's driver's license.
I have a piece of paper.
Yes, let me correct that. You are a framed threat from the Department of Motor Vehicles to revoke his driver's license. You hang on the wall and have been there for some time. You're a bit dusty. Frank Zappa is a 24-year-old musician with, let's say, eclectic tastes. Across the room from you is a framed photo of Frank Zappa on the Steve Allen TV show. You've stared at that photo of Frank Zappa and Steve Allen and the Schwinns for quite some time. The calm of this morning, is broken by a loud, heavy knocking on the door. The snoring man rouses, pulls on clothes, and walks over to the door. It's a client. It's his most recent client, the used car salesman. He asks if the audio sex tape is ready. Frank Zappa yawns and then invites the used car salesman into his recording studio apartment. He tells the client to get comfortable as he sets up his reel-to-reel to preview the audio sex tape for the used car salesman. You watch the client as he eyes the decor of the apartment, which includes you, the framed threat. There's also some pop art scattered about. On the walls near you, there is a Zappa's divorce papers, also framed, along with framed rejection letters from record labels. It's your crew. On the floor, though, atop Oriental and Persian rugs are musical instruments, stacked bric-a-brac everywhere, electric guitars, a drum kit, a piano, multiple vibraphones. You watch the client as he eyes this sleepy Frank Zappa. He asks about the custom-made sex tape. Zappa asks him some questions. Once he's satisfied with his answers, Zappa says, "I guess you're all right." He gets up and walks over to his reel-to-reel and he hits play. You, the used car salesman, and Frank Zappa listen to the recording. There's bed squeaks. There's some grunting and heavy breathing. There's also what you would call blue language. Zappa stops the tape. He asks what the used car salesman thinks. Is that what he was looking for? The client nods. This is exactly what he wanted. But Zappa says he also made a film of the event and would throw that in for $300 on top of the original $100.
Oh my God.
Now the used car salesman has more than he wanted. He signals his partners. With the speed of a predator, cops rush into the recording studio. The used car salesman identifies himself as Sergeant Jim Willis from the vice squad of the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Two other sheriff's detectives and a detective from the Ontario Police Department also identify themselves. As a framed threat from the DMV, you are not surprised at all that Frank Zappa is once again in trouble with the law. So, Elizabeth, some of the officers who arrested Frank Zappa, they also had amazing names. The operation was overseen by Lieutenant Ed Noon and Sheriff Frank Bland.
Oh.
Yeah.
Noon and Bland.
Exactly. They're like 60s TV show cop names, right?
Completely.
Tell it to Sheriff Frank Bland. So what happens now that he's busted for making porn that's actually fake porn? But since it's audio, how do you prove that it's fake porn? Also, it's 1965.
Yeah.
So what gives, Elizabeth?
I don't know.
Well, before Zappa ever got to court, the cops attempted to try him in the court of public opinion. The local papers were tipped off about the bust.
What?
Yeah. The next day in the Daily Report, the local paper, a news story scandalized the joint with this accounting of events. And I quote, "Vice Squad investigators stilled the tape recorders of a free-swinging a go-go film and recording studio here Friday and arrested a self-styled movie producer and his buxom redheaded companion." So, yeah, by the way.
He's just a musical mad scientist.
Elizabeth, did you know Frank Zappa is his government name?
Yeah.
That's not a stage name. I found that out. So Zappa and Lorraine Belcher, they are both charged with, quote, conspiracy to commit pornography. Zappa, total gentleman. He was like, keep me, let Lorraine go free.
Aww.
He arranges to bail her out, right? Doesn't have much money, though, so he has to contact people, and he's got some royalties coming for a song that he penned called Memories of El Monte. So the song was this doo-wop tune he co-wrote for a group called the Penguins, right? The song apparently was doing numbers, so he uses that money to free his girlfriend. Now, his other big tune at the time was a song called Streets of Fontana. Do you know this one, Elizabeth?
No.
How about you, Producer Dave? Do you know this one?
Got nothing.
Mind if I favor you with a verse? Just a verse?
Yeah, please.
As I was out sweeping the streets of Fontana, as I was out sweeping Fontana one day, I spied in the gutter an old moldy banana, and with the peeling I started to play.
So Zappa.
Yeah. So the gentleman outlaw and soon-to-be sex offender sits in the county jail, and he gets his day in court. He takes the charge, and he pleads nolo contendere.
Okay.
Right? His sentence is a six-month sentence, but most of the sentence gets suspended. He winds up doing only 10 days in jail.
Huh.
When he comes out of lockup, Frank Zappa is a changed man. He's like, my 10 days inside, right? So, but he's not completely changed. He's still Frank Zappa, but he does say this, and I quote, "You can't appreciate what a jail is and what goes on there unless someone sticks you in one. In a way, I guess I have to thank Detective Willis and the evil machinery of the San Bernardino legal system for giving me a chance to see, from that perspective, what the penal system is like in this country and how ineffectual and how stupid it is."
All right.
Zappa. So the real cost to him was his lost music and other recordings, because when the local authorities ran through his place and they rifled through all of his stuff during their raid, the cops seized about 80 hours of recordings. Can you guess how many hours they gave him back?
Zero.
30. Yeah.
Wonder whatever
Less
happened to
half.
Those 50 hours of
Who
tape.
Knows,
probably
right?
Destroyed.
The surprising result, though, out of all of this was that since he was now a convicted felon, Frank Zappa wasn't eligible for the draft. His $1,000 fake audio sex tape kept Frank Zappa out of Vietnam.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And he couldn't wear a bulletproof vest.
Exactly. So what's our ridiculous takeaway here, Elizabeth?
Oh, wait. Well, I think it's funny that he was playing at a club in the Valley, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then today, the San Fernando Valley is like the epicenter of porn production.
Yeah. He was just ahead of the curve.
So he was way ahead of it.
Yeah.
My other ridiculous takeaway, thank you for asking, is don't walk in the rain in New Jersey. What's your ridiculous takeaway?
No, I'm not gonna pretend you're trying to show off for the intern.
I
like,
am.
Oh, I'm so, I normally do this.
Yeah, uh-huh. This is what I do.
I don't even have one ready because you don't ever ask. No, okay, I'll just prep one out.
Yeah.
So I looked on the Google Maps because I know you like it, right?
Oh,
and
God,
so
now
that new place, the place that was his recording studio,
yeah.
It's a tattoo shop and it just looks like exactly the same. So I bet some similar stuff is going down in that same location.
Oh, let's go.
There you go. Hey, you in the mood for a talkback?
Yeah.
Producer Dave, could you pleasure us with a talkback?
No, I can't do that, but I will play one for you. Come on, this is a family show, man. Let's see. It goes a little something like this.
Talkbacks.
Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hi guys, just finished listening to the Jim Trafficant episode, and I just wanted to add a few things. Elizabeth, you did say Mahoning County correctly, so way to go. I'm also a Youngstown State alumni. My mom used to babysit his daughter when she was really little. And also, the funny thing is, his wife used to be a hairstylist, so she easily could have fixed the mop on his head. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the great work. Love the show.
Yes.
I love that.
I need a certificate that I actually said something correctly.
I do. Silver star, gold star for you, Elizabeth.
Gold star for me. And then all the other intel in there. I love background.
Yeah.
So that was fantastic.
Keep them coming.
Yeah.
Well, as always, you can find us online, Ridiculous Crime, Twitter, Instagram, such and such, so forth. Also, do hit up our website. That one's fun, ridiculouscrime.com. Yeah. And obviously, we love your talkback, so please leave those. You got to go to the iHeart app, download some stuff, and then start talking
it's
at
worth
us.
It.
Email us, if you like, at ridiculouscrime@gmail.com. And as always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by old Davey bastard, Dave Kustin. Research is by Chef Marissa Ray Brown and Andrea the Genius Song Charpentier. Our theme song is by Bob Dylan, historical reenactors Thomas Lee and Travis Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben, I'm Bob Dylan, and I'm on tour, Bolin, and Noel, I am also Bob Dylan, but I am not on tour, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
What if we told you about a major breakthrough on awesome savings on all-inclusive beach vacays?
OMG, this could break the case.
Case? I'm talking about CheapCaribbean.com. It's full of hot savings. At CheapCaribbean.com, score an extra $175 off site-wide on vacations of 4 nights or more now through June 3rd. A swim up bar in Punta Cana or dip your toes in the sand on the shores of Cancun.
We gotta take this show on the road.
Start at CheapCaribbean.com.